I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host. My guest today, Susan Gonzalez, is a nurse, certified professional cancer coach, certified plant-based nutritionist, and a 12-year stage 3 breast cancer survivor. She is an advocate for health and wellness with a focus on cancer prevention and the use of holistic healing for cancer survival. Her popular book, 100 Perks on Having Cancer Plus 100 Health Tips for Surviving It, and her award-winning blog, The Savvy Sister, Simple Changes for Healthy Living, provide valuable tools for those wishing to live a happy and healthy life after cancer. As a warrior for cancer survivors, Susan hosts her own website, cancersurvivorforlife.com, where survivors can find information on healing the body, mind, and spirit to reduce their risk of cancer recurrence. Susan is also the creator of Moon Organics, a natural skin care company created for those who want to avoid cancer-causing chemicals. You can see all her products at moonorganics.com. Susan lives in Atlanta with her husband and two daughters. I previously interviewed my colleague, Susan Gonzalez, 5 years ago. I welcome you to the Holistic Health Show, Susan, and I look forward to hearing about your cancer journey and what you have done since. So would you start by telling us a little bit about when you were diagnosed, what was your diagnosis, what the doctor prescribed, what you decided to do? We've talked before, but so that it's all kind of together today, so I'd like to just kind of review.
Sure. Well, I was diagnosed with stage 3 lobular breast cancer in 2005, and at that time, I was a cardiac nurse, so I thought I was taking very good care of myself. I was exercising, not overweight, you know, doing everything that I was supposed to do. I had 2 school-age children. So when I went for my mammogram and it came back that there was something on it, I wasn't too concerned. And then when I went for the ultrasound, I was very concerned because they really couldn't see anything. And it was because the tumor was so large. I had a 7-centimeter tumor in my left breast. So when I went to doctor, of course, I was very scared and afraid and surprised. All of those feelings that someone gets when they're first diagnosed with cancer. You know, immediately thinking the worst. And I just wanted to do whatever I could do to get rid of the cancer. So I didn't really do a whole lot of research. Mm-hmm. I just went to the doctor. She said, you need a mastectomy. It's up to you whether you want to get a double mastectomy. And I did choose to get a double because I had a very high percentage of getting cancer in that other breast. So I had the double mastectomy. And then she said, you know, you need chemo. So I did that as well. Got through that, and it was during the chemotherapy that I started looking at alternative medicine mm-hmm, and mm-hmm. started looking at some things that I could do to help my symptoms of chemotherapy.
Mm-hmm. And what then did you use besides chemo?
So during the chemotherapy was I had an experimental dosage. I think because I was so young, I was 41, mm-hmm. and I was very healthy. The oncologist said, you know, would you be willing to go on to this experimental dose of Taxotere? Mm-hmm. So they were giving Taxotere 1 dose every 3 weeks. And she said, well, we are doing this study where we're giving it weekly, every week. So I went into that study and I had it done weekly, mm-hmm. Which was, when I look back, and my husband's a pharmacist, so he was looking up all of the dosages that I was getting, and mm-hmm. he was quite concerned because I was getting way over, you know, what is a mm-hmm. standard dose for my weight. And he's saying, you know, doctor, this is a lot more than she should be getting. And the doctor said, well, we're doing this study, and, you know, we just want to see, and we think she's healthy enough and everything. So I didn't know any better, and I just mm-hmm. did it. And I did quite well, but I feel like I did quite well because Very early into it, I started getting symptoms of nausea and fatigue and all of that. And I really, I couldn't believe that there wasn't something that I could do. I didn't want to just get the treatment that the doctor was telling me and, mm-hmm. and not do anything for myself. So that's what started me on my informational journey, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I started looking at supplements. And mm-hmm. one of the things I came across was mushrooms. And there's so much information about so many different kinds of mushrooms. And I still take them today. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But one of the mushrooms was the shiitake. Mm-hmm. And the shiitake mm-hmm. mushroom, as you know, is very helpful during chemotherapy to help reduce side effects and actually help increase the potency of the chemotherapy, makes it work better. So I brought this to my doctor, and she was, you know, very poo-poo-ish, you know, oh, this is, you know, voodoo medicine or whatever. She really didn't give it much thought. And she said, I really don't want you taking these mushrooms when you're doing chemotherapy. And, you know, I just didn't tell her that I was doing it because I really felt like that was the best thing for me. Mm-hmm. So I did that. And then for the nausea, I sought out a very competent and wonderful acupuncturist who helped me with the nausea. He helped me with the liver clearing, you know, getting all that chemo out, and also helped me with the fatigue. Mm-hmm. And it was quite dramatic, the benefits that I felt. I felt it almost immediately. And I didn't have to go very often to get what I needed done. Mm-hmm. And then from that, just kept looking, kept reading, you know, how one thing leads to another, and you read about one person and then something catches your eye about another. And that's kind of been what's been happening with me, and going from one thing to the other, learning about different supplements and tinctures and herbs that can help me not only when I was going through chemo, but now to prevent the breast cancer from returning.
And did you work with diet, or was your diet good?
No, well, I was a cardiac nurse, so I thought my diet was good, right? I was teaching my patients how to eat skinless chicken and mashed potatoes and yogurt, you know, which I don't touch any of those things now. So I really transitioned slowly to a completely whole food plant-based diet, and that's what I eat now. And I do occasional juicing. I like smoothies, and I use my dehydrator. So I do. I try to do a large majority of raw foods. And so that's my diet now. And, you know, like I said, very, very different from what I was teaching my patients back in my cardiac days. So diet's a huge factor. And then also spirituality. I was a cradle Catholic, as we like to say. I was born Catholic, but, you know, sort of just went to church and just because everyone else did. I didn't really have a connection. But I really opened up the spiritual world in myself, if you will. Started reading lots of books, started practicing mindfulness, started reading Eckhart Tolle, and just really fine-tuning my spirituality and opening up. That was one of the parts that really was missing from my life.
Right, right. That's what I noticed too, Susan, when I had cancer, was, well, I had started opening up my spiritual life a few years before, but it was like I was starved in that area. And
right.
I almost went overboard because I had taken a position at Duke, and they gave me a semester to develop my course that I was going to teach in the second semester. So I had lots of free time, and I almost went overboard. You know, it's like if you're imbalanced, you're not aware of it. And then when you become aware of it, you want to make up for lost time with the spirituality.
Right, right. That's very true. And a lot of that had to do, a lot of my exploration had to do with friends that I had met, and like I said, books that I'm. One of the books that really changed my life was "Dying to Be Me" by Anita Morjani. Was a woman who had end stage cancer. She was basically on life support with 3-inch tumors from lymphoma. Was basically going to die in the next few hours, the doctor said, and her, you know, had her family come, and then had this near-death experience. I encourage anyone who's interested in that, or if that piques your interest, I encourage you to get her book. It really changed my life.
Now, you mentioned your diet, and I'm also on a vegan diet, but I do go off maybe 1 or 2 meals a week.
Okay.
But some weeks I forget. You know, I just get so used to the other that I forget. But most weeks I go off at least once. And it's often when I eat out because it's more difficult. But I haven't had beef in 40 years, maybe. I usually, when I go off at home, it's usually to have some eggs and some cheese, which I miss. I miss the cheese. And and occasionally a piece of fish, but and occasionally maybe once every 2-3 months a piece of chicken. But that's about it. And it's so easier now, you know, to sustain that type of diet.
Sure. It's becoming very popular. Mm-hmm. There's many, many more products available. Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I'm also gluten sensitive. And so I stay away from gluten and I eat organic. So that's another thing that's difficult when you eat out, because we don't have many organic restaurants.
Right. Yeah, I'm very lucky here in Atlanta. We have a lot of farmers markets and a lot of them are organic. I get spoiled by eating. And you really, I was just telling someone the other day, you really don't know what fresh broccoli tastes like if you're buying it from the supermarket. It tastes completely different. I mean, it needs no seasoning. It's like eating a piece of candy to me. So really nice.
Well, also tomatoes, because we have a man that sells off out of his garden down the street about a mile from me. And when you have a tomato right out of the garden, that tastes so different. And the other thing is corn right out of the garden. You know, my brother used to say, you have to take the hot water in the kettle out to the cornfield and pick the corn. And it can't be out of the water for more than 15 minutes because the whole chemistry of the sugar in the corn changes. So,
yeah, that's true. That's true. And, you know, I'm sure your listeners know that, you know, over 95% of the corn in this country is GMO. So I'm lucky enough to be able to get the organic corn. You know, when I eat it, it's not often that I eat it, but when I do, it's nice to be able to access the organic.
Right. Now, that's about the only time I eat corn is with this neighbor, and I know, I've seen his garden, I know how he handles the weeds and all that kind of stuff in there. So,
yeah, that's good.
I mean, I trust that, but I wouldn't buy it out of the market because of the GMO.
Yeah.
But I don't buy most canola oil or things with canola oil either, for the same reason that 90% of all canola oil is genetically modified.
So, right. So. Yeah. And it's the omega-6 too, the fatty acids. Those corn is the inflammatory producing omega-6, really high in that. So I kind of try to stay away. I occasionally will do it when I have my organic popcorn.
Well, I have found a popcorn that is popped with coconut oil, organic coconut oil.
Oh, yeah.
Jackson's,
nice.
I think it is, because it's one of the few high heat oils that I'll use. So, well, then, so you became interested in holistic therapies then as a result of your cancer journey?
Correct. That's really what started me. And then, like I said, one thing led to another, and I started writing a blog to help other people. Mm-hmm. So I started writing a blog really to just tell people all of the little tidbits that I had been learning, all the supplements and, you know, the benefits of this and that and some recipes that I had found. And I started writing a blog. And then another woman, Florence Strang in Newfoundland, was writing her blog, 100 Perks of Having Cancer. So she was diagnosed with cancer, breast cancer as well, and she challenged herself to find 100 good things that happened to her during her treatment. So this is while she was being treated. Mm-hmm. We kind of found each other on the internet, and she approached me about writing a book, and she thought our two blogs put together would make a wonderful book. And so that's what brought about 100 Perks of Having Cancer plus 100 Health Tips for Surviving It. And we actually wrote the book from two different continents, from two different, you know, places. She was over in Newfoundland, and I was in Atlanta, Georgia. And we wrote the book, and we really didn't even meet each other until the book was published. So that's kind of an interesting story.
And can you tell us a little bit about the book?
Sure. Well, we tried to make it very easy to read. And so she gives a perk, and then I follow it with an associated health tip. So, for example, one of her perks, she did smoke marijuana, but one of her perks was she could have access to medical marijuana if she wanted to for nausea. Mm-hmm. And then my health tip for that was, if you're nauseated, try ginger. And then I give a nice recipe for carrot ginger soup and some ways that you can use ginger for nausea.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And all of the perks and tips are sort of laid out that way. And it's very easy to read, paperback book. It's over 450 pages. I give lots of recipes in there and some very good information on supplements.
Mm-hmm. And it's still available then?
Yes, absolutely on Amazon.com and Amazon.ca in Canada. And you can go to the website. It's 100perksofcancer.com, the number 100.
Mm-hmm.
And we have a 5-star review. It's still a number one seller in Canada. So it's doing well in Canada, doing well in the United States as well.
Mm-hmm. Canada seems to be a little more progressive. At least that's what I found in nursing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
That, you know, when I was writing my energy theories back in the, let me see, 70s, they were much better accepted in Canada than they were in the United States.
Yeah,
but
I think that's true.
Yeah, and cannabis is interesting. I've done a little series recently on it because it seemed to be so popular. And I think most people think that you get high. But, you know, there's all different types of, you know,
yes,
the CBD and the THC.
Correct.
And all these things. I'd heard them, but I didn't know what they all were. But
yeah,
Now I do, and it's interesting.
Yeah, I do take the CBD oil every day.
Mm-hmm.
Just for general immunity, and I think it helps with so many of the different body systems, nervous system. And
oh, do you?
Yes. I think it's a very good benefit for a very small risk. I mean, not many people are reactive to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it does seem to have some pretty good literature that it does help with prevention of different illnesses. So.
Mm-hmm. Are you taking it with any THC?
No,
no,
it's strictly hemp CBD. Mm-hmm.
Oh, and is it available all over, or are you in one of the states that allows it?
No, I get mine from a mail order, and I don't have any problem getting it.
No.
So it's can I mention the company that I
uh-huh.
get?
Because I'd be interested in trying.
Okay, it's Bluebird, Bluebird Organics.
Mm-hmm.
So Bluebird is the name of the company, and they sell many different
mm-hmm.
oils. They sell the hemp and the CBD, and they sell it in many different forms too. They sell it crystallized and liquid. I get the liquid.
Oh, mm-hmm. Good. If I have questions, then I'll get in touch with you, because I've been thinking that it might help with, I don't have many health issues. I, you know, still have AFib, but that doesn't seem to bother me much anymore. I had part of my prostate removed, and that's kind of healed up. And
okay.
So I don't seem to have much of anything else except visual.
Uh-huh.
And I did buy a Beamer. I don't know if you're familiar with the Beamer, but if not, look it up sometime.
I will.
It was invented in Germany about 25 years ago, and they're having a lot of success with it. Dr. Weiler in Washington, he, for example, he used it with 52 patients, and I think they were a mix of cataract, macular degeneration, and glaucoma. And
wow.
The vision, between 10 and 20 sessions, the vision improved by 2 lines for 40,
oh, wow.
48 out of 52. So,
well, I will definitely look that up.
And I tried it. My vision went up 2 lines on the chart.
Oh, wow. That's incredible.
And I'm the oldest of them. You know, they haven't had anyone my age before try it. But I'm like you. I'm willing to try anything if it's going to keep me going so I can continue to help others like you do. And, you know, so.
Right. I agree.
Yeah. Good. But and it does give you energy. So it's the only problem is it's a little expensive. It was $6,000.
Oh my goodness.
But they are using it with some cardiac patients. They're using it with cancer patients. They're using it with a variety of different illnesses now. And so I think there'll be more and more research coming out.
Interesting. Well, I'll definitely look at that.
Mm-hmm. Then what have you been doing since your book came out then?
Well, after the book was published, I had started a skincare company, a holistic skincare company, before I wrote the book. And I took a little break from the company to write the book and promote it. And then when the book was published and we promoted it that year, I went back to focusing on my business. Moon Organics is the name of the business. And I use organic oils and butters, and I use essential oils to create products really for everyone. Mm-hmm. With the cancer patient in mind. So I really started it myself when I was going through chemotherapy. I needed something to keep my skin moist because my skin was so dry from that chemo. So I just started playing around with different oils and came up with a really nice recipe for a body oil. And that's what started it. And then from there, now I think I have 22 different products. And I do a radiation serum for people going through radiation. I do a scar cream and different things like that with cancer patients in mind. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. I've been working on that. I got my cancer coaching certification. So I do a little bit of cancer coaching, mm-hmm. just sort of guiding people through the process and making them aware of things that maybe they weren't aware of.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm also working on my aromatherapy registration. So the international registration, which is an 18-month course, and I'll sit for the national boards in January. So learning a lot more about using essential oils as medicines and making different blends and but for different issues in life, stress especially, because stress lends itself to many other different illnesses, but stress and treating, you know, pretty much anything else that you want a little tool for, mm-hmm. insomnia or any problem that you seem to be having.
Mm-hmm. Can you tell us about frankincense? Isn't that one that is used some for cancer?
Now, the international community really does not promote the use of frankincense because it is being endangered. Unfortunately, with climate change and with the harvesting, mm-hmm. It really will not be around much longer. So the international community really does not encourage the use of frankincense. There's other things that can be used that are useful for mm-hmm. For cancer and such. But the frankincense, yes, has gotten a lot of press, and I think that's why so many people want it. Another thing with essential oils, unfortunately, is a lot of the oils that are very sought after and expensive are adulterated. So they'll add different oils to the expensive oil to make it stretch and last longer. Mm-hmm. For example, I don't know the exact percentage. It was something like 25%, but there's 25% more tea tree oil sold than is harvested in the world. So, you know, something's going on where someone's making that tea tree stretch a little bit further. So you just have to be careful when you're using essential oils that you're using pure oils, that you get a chemical analysis of your oil from the company. I recently had to drop a company because they stopped giving chemical analysis of their oils. And that's really the only way that you can know how pure it is and how useful it is by the different components of chemicals in that specific oil.
Mm-hmm. When you talked about the tea tree oil, it reminded me of something I'd heard about Corot, the artist. Mm-hmm. And I had read one time that Corot painted, this is just an estimate, but it gives you the gist of what they were saying. Corot painted 1,000 paintings in his lifetime, and 2,500 of those sold in the United States last year.
That's funny. Yeah, I guess if you want to make a buck.
Yeah, because he's one of the most copied of all of the artists. But I guess, you know, anyone that'll make money is copied.
Yeah.
So
that's the thing, unfortunately. Yeah.
Susan, tell us some things that in retrospect you would want to have known that you didn't know when you were diagnosed that you would like to share with people that are newly diagnosed?
Yeah, I would absolutely have wanted someone to tell me not to be so afraid to seek out alternative treatments and alternative therapies, to not take everything that you hear, either from the medical community or something you read online, as 100% truth, to really trust your instinct and trust your gut. I always knew when I found something, I always knew it was right for me. I just had, you know, you get that feeling like, yes, I feel like this is going to help me. I'm interested in this. And something else, somebody else would mention something else to me and it just would not resonate with me. Just to be very mindful of what does resonate for you. And don't be afraid to go outside the box and outside of your safety and comfort zone when you're seeking out treatments. There's many, many healing modalities out there, and you need to find the ones that are going to work specifically for you.
But you know, so many forces are acting against you when you try to go outside the box. I remember when I was diagnosed and the doctor prescribed chemo and surgery. And my mother, who I knew loved me, said, well, why don't you just do what the doctor wants you to do, and then you can do these other things, you know? And my colleagues, all nurses, if they talked with me at all, usually they just ignored me because they didn't know what to do. But they also, their attitude was, well, you need to do what the doctor tells you to do. And see, I think that was much more prevalent back in the early 70s than it probably is right now.
Yes.
But, you know, there were just so many forces against you. And then, you know, you look at the research, and a lot of the research is not accurate because the research is done by the people that are selling the drugs.
Yes.
Because most people can't afford to do research. I think of Dr. Brzezinski. You know, and I'm sure you know Dr. Brzezinski, who has been before the FDA and all several times and continues to do what he thinks is right and what it has been successful for a lot of people. But, you know, there are forces against him, the same as Dr. Forsyth, who I know better. Dr. Forsyth, do you know Dr. Forsyth? Or the name?
I don't know him.
He is in Reno, Nevada, and he wrote a chapter in my book in 2012. And I looked him up on the internet and saw that he was in trouble with the FDA and the medical profession. And I thought, well, I wonder what great things he's doing that is a threat to them. Well, right now, he's having 64% 5-year survival stage 4 patients. Now, who else can say that? And he's one that will try all of the new things. Like, he's done chemosensitivity testing. In 2012, he was doing it. He's done some DVDs on it. How many cancer doctors are doing the chemosensitivity testing? You know?
Yeah, I know.
And, you know, how many are doing some of these tests that will pick up cancer before you have any symptoms?
Right.
And I just read, which I think is very exciting, there's the cancer profile that can pick up a probability of 75 to 85% cancer 10 years, 8 years before you develop it.
Wow, that's amazing.
And I feel like, you know, that would give people the opportunity to change their lifestyle and probably prevent it or have a less severe case of cancer.
Right.
But who's using that?
Right.
You know, there's so many good things out there, and, you know, there's so many forces against using these good things that it's up to, you know, the people that have tried it to get out there and push it, and that hopefully eventually will cause an imbalance in the teeter-totter of the forces toward something new. But
let's really hope so.
So are there other things that you wish that you had known back then?
I guess just about the specific supplements and about some of the amazing things like turkey tail mushroom, for example, for breast cancer survivors. A study was done here in Atlanta at Emory University, which one is a big teaching hospital here. And they used turkey tail mushroom to prevent recurrence of breast cancer specifically, with a very high success rate.
Mm-hmm.
And so just things like that, that I would not have known about if I did not do my research.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, something you said just before made me think of many of my stage four friends that are now no evidence of disease. And it's because they went out and they did think outside the box. And
mm-hmm.
it's
mm-hmm.
funny because they go back to their doctors and their doctors don't ask them. They just say, oh, it's great. Look, you have no evidence of disease. You had these nodes in your liver and your lungs and now you're clean. But the doctors don't ever ask these people, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
So that I can
mm-hmm.
tell my other patients to do it. They just think that it's just, oh, this is great. You know, this is just a spontaneous thing. No, these people are actively engaged in their healing.
Mm-hmm.
And that
mm-hmm.
is why they're able to heal themselves. But the doctors don't seem to really want to know about that.
No.
I just find
Uh-oh.
That so fascinating. I'm not fascinating, but mm-hmm. discouraging.
Well, you know, I think the other thing is that so many of the people in cancer treatment ignore the mental spiritual, which
yes.
is so important. You talked about it. Some of the people that are having the most success have talked about it. Some of the survivors have talked about it. I got together with a group of people one day, and what every one of them had in common was they all had faith. They were all positive. They all exhibited some of the spiritual attributes, I guess is the word. And I know that that played a big role in their recovery, but no one talks about it. But the research is beginning to come out on this, and it's there. I just finished, I did it for my Cancer Foundation website, and then I decided, well, I'd try doing a download to make some money for my Cancer Foundation, and that didn't work. So I made a booklet out of it, and the book came this past week, and it's ready to go. But
good.
It looks at gratitude, it
mm-hmm.
looks at faith, it looks at patience, it looks at forgiveness, it looks at the research on all of the spiritual attributes, it looks at the mental things, the affirmations, the meditation,
mm-hmm.
it looks at all of these things, what research is there, how it relates to cancer, how you do these things, and hopefully, you know, if we just keep harping at these, people will start, you know, you're in holism now. I hope you're finding the same thing. It's slow, but it is beginning to turn around so that people
yeah.
are looking at more than the physical.
I agree. I'm sure you're familiar with the book Radical Remission.
Right, right.
So in Radical Remission, there were 8 common attributes among the thousands of cancer survivors that this doctor interviewed, but only 3 of the 8 had to do with physical changes that people made. The rest of the 5 all had to do with spiritual and mental changes,
oh,
which I thought
oh.
was very fascinating.
Right, right. There was a book, and I can't remember the name of it, but that came out much, much, much earlier that has a lot more research on the same, you know, the same type of thing. It was Miraculous Healings. And I referenced that on my website because I think it offers hope to people when they see that people have healed when the odds,
yeah.
at least the human odds, were the doctor odds were against them. So
yeah, yeah. That's one thing I tell my cancer coaching clients not to look at is the statistics because I said they mean nothing to you. They
right.
mean absolutely zero to you because those you don't know what those people did or did not do, and you're more than a number, so don't even look at the statistics. It doesn't has nothing to do with who you are right now and where you're going.
Mm-hmm. Then, Susan, what do you think that the medical community is missing in the treatment of cancer today?
Obviously, it's missing open-mindedness
mm-hmm.
And a more accepting attitude towards what patients want to do. I think the medical community needs to realize that individuals oftentimes know what's right for them. And it would be nice to see more. It's starting a little bit, but it would be nice to see more of the medical community accepting what individual patients would like to incorporate into their treatment plan.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And how do you bring that about?
I think just hitting home, like when I go to my oncologist, I go for my yearly exam, I always bring her an article, mm-hmm. or I bring up some type of new supplement that I've been investigating, and she is, you know, whether she's interested or not, I want to expose her to this because I want her to know that there's more out there to offer her her patients than just what she has to offer. So, and she, I can tell, I've been seeing her for the past 10 years now, mm-hmm. and she, she's starting to warm up to me. Initially, she didn't want to hear any of it, especially when I told her to give up dairy. She didn't want to hear that at all. But, you know, when I present her with actual scientific data, and that's what I think doctors want to see. Mm-hmm. And I think there's more of that out now. Mm-hmm. They want to see the actual scientific data that shows, yes, you know, if I suggest this to my patients, it will help.
Right. I think maybe I have attracted a little more progressive doctors because my doctor, I went to her one day. Now, I don't take her articles, but I went one day and I mentioned to her that I was taking natokinase. And she said, "What is that?" And I told her. So she looks up on the computer and she said, "Well, there's a lot of research on that." She said, "Keep taking it."
See, and now maybe another patient will come along or she'll look into mm-hmm. it more closely mm-hmm. and maybe she'll start, you know, suggesting it.
And then my cardiologist is a vegan.
Oh, that's great.
And
I notice that more and more, you know.
Do you?
Mm-hmm.
I think that probably more and more, especially among cardiologists, because of Dr. Esslinger. Is mm-hmm. it Esslinger?
Esselstein.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, because of his work and showing yeah. how, you know, what you can do as far as cancer prevention with a vegan diet. But his is so
sure.
strict, I couldn't stay with it. You can't even have avocados because
of the fat.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that goes back to, you know, what do you feel is right for you and where you've gone? Because, you know, when I started changing my diet, obviously I didn't do it overnight. So it was a process, but I found that it with each thing that I changed, I just felt so much better and better,
mm-hmm,
and
mm-hmm.
You know, my gut cleared and my skin looks great. You know, like just little things happened to encourage me to continue to make those changes.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Is there anything else, then, Susan, you would like to say before we look at your products again and your services and your books and how the listeners can connect with you and your products and services?
No, I want anyone listening that is a cancer survivor to know that you are not a helpless victim, that there is plenty that you can do to help yourself, to tap into that wisdom that your body has to heal itself. And I encourage everyone to continue to seek out what it resonates with them.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Then, Susan, would you tell us about the books, then, about your products, the skincare products, and about your coaching service and how the listeners can reach you?
Sure. The book is at, you can go to Amazon.com or Amazon.ca and just type in the search bar 100 Perks of Having Cancer, or you can go to our website where you can read some of the chapters. That's at 100perksofcancer.com, 100perksofcancer.com. My company, skincare company,
don't you have a couple other books?
No, I just have
or
the one.
Or did I miss?
Yeah, oh. Flo has a couple of other books. She has a book out for autistic moms, because she has an autistic son. So she just wrote another book.
Okay.
But that's the only one that we've written together.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
And then my skincare company is Moon Organics, Moon like the moon in the sky, MOON, organics with an S.com. And then I give some free tips and some free dietary advice on cancersurvivorsforlife.com, all one word, Cancer Survivors for Life. You can see some of the books that have influenced me. You can access, I have a 28-day cancer survival nutrition plan that you can access. So just some good information there if you're just all new to the alternative medicine world.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And your products?
The products are Moon Organics, moonorganics.com.
Mm-hmm. And your coaching, can you tell us a little about that?
It's mostly local, but of course I could do it over the internet and Skype as well.
Mm-hmm.
And what I would do is I have clients from many different stages of cancer, from newly diagnosed to someone that has finished treatment and is looking for ways to reduce their risk of recurrence,
mm-hmm.
Cancer survivors that are just looking to change their lifestyle. So it really, and I do an initial consultation and then see what's needed, and then we just go from there. It's a very individualized plan. It's
mm-hmm.
nothing that's cookie cutter because everyone is so different.
Mm-hmm.
But they can access all that information on the cancersurvivorsforlife.com website.
Mm-hmm. Great. Good. Well, I appreciate this very much, Susan. It's great to catch up with you again after these years and to see how well you're doing. And no recurrence, that's wonderful to hear.
Right. And I appreciate you too, Carl. And I've recommended your book to many, many of my clients. So
good.
I really appreciate what you're doing as well.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
Because we have some time left today, I would like to talk with you about my new Cancer Foundation and an opportunity that I think will be of interest to you. My new Cancer Foundation can be found at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. On the site, you will see first a video of the foundation. You will also see the goals, which are education, research, and patient care. I have an impressive board and advisory board for this foundation, and you can look at these on the site. I have worked for over a year getting content on the site, including interviews with cancer patients and doctors, cancer research, cancer treatment, and what is different on my site is research on mental, spiritual interventions and interviews with experts for interviews like affirmations, visualization, prayer, meditation, gratitude, forgiveness, and many others. These are included because I believe that disease results from multiple factors, and consequently, a holistic approach is necessary for recovering from cancer. To me, prayer, faith, optimism, and others are as important in treatment as medication, supplements, diet, and other interventions. I have experience to support this belief. Having used a holistic approach since 1970, when I volunteered as a camp nurse for the Edgar Cayce organization. It was natural to use this approach when I was diagnosed with lung cancer in 1974. Curing this disease with all natural holistic interventions, I continued using the approach in my personal life and with clients, and am now considered a pioneer in holistic health. I have worked for the past 5 to 6 months on the website section on prevention of cancer. This resulted in a soft-covered booklet for $14.95 and a hard-covered booklet for $24.95, available on my website, www.holisticcancerfoundation.com, or on Amazon or Barnes & Nobles. The booklet is 174 pages long and is titled Reducing Your Cancer Risk, A Holistic Approach. First, as a longtime educator, I like to start my writing with a theoretical framework in which to place the content. So there is first a theoretical framework based upon public health concepts. This framework will basically look at, first, ways to reduce the risk of known environmental carcinogens, and second, ways to strengthen the host against environmental and other carcinogens. Content on reducing the effect of known environmental carcinogens include electromagnetic waves, toxic chemicals such as BPA, formaldehyde, toxic metals such as aluminum and mercury, and last, ultraviolet waves. For all areas, there will be research related to the carcinogen, what you can do to reduce the risk, and an interview with an expert for many of these. The second part looks at ways to strengthen the host or you against carcinogens. It includes areas such as physical activities, nutrition, including genetically modified organisms, organic food, etc., fluids, water and milk, supplements, vitamins, minerals, immune builders, sleep, smoking cessation, music, and then it moves into mental, spiritual interventions that includes affirmations, compassion, faith, forgiveness, gratitude, meditation, optimism, prayer, relaxation exercises, serving or helping others, social support, stress reduction, and visualization. Again, for each of these, there is research, what to do to strengthen yourself against cancer, and interviews with experts for many of these. You will hear interviews with 30 cancer or related experts on mental, spiritual interventions, such as forgiveness, gratitude, faith, and compassion. You'll hear about omega-3s, genetically modified organisms, genetically modified food, plant-based and other nutritional diets, smoking cessation, chemical and mental carcinogens, immune builders, music, and much, much more. So I hope this will be helpful to you and will help in preventing cancer in the future. I thank you for joining me today on the Holistic Health Show, and I hope some of the information will be useful to you. I invite you to my websites, holistichealthshow.com, where you will find all shows for the past 7 years under the blog. You will also find much of the research on natural ways to deal with cancer and other health conditions, and can sign up for my free monthly newsletter. On my website, beatlungcancer.net, you will find many of the 135 interviews from radio and television over the past 2 years about my book on treating lung cancer naturally and holistically when I was diagnosed 41 years ago next month and given 6 months to live by traditional medicine who offered chemo and surgery. This book was published in November 2012 and was a bestseller on Amazon. You will find endorsements of the book, a place to buy the book, and an earlier one from 2007 titled Healthy Holistic Aging, A Blueprint for Success. On my third website, you will find information on the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation, begun last year and currently in the phase of completing the website. This site is at www.holisticcancerfoundation.com. Information on how the foundation differs from others, board members, research on holistic natural ways to deal with cancer, including mental and spiritual interventions, interviews with cancer physicians and survivors, and more. If you would like to donate to the work I am supporting, there is a tab to donate, and I can offer you a tax exemption receipt if living in the United States. I also invite you to join me on Facebook at my Facebook page, www.facebook.com/CarlHelvey. On my Holistic Health Show page at www.facebook.com/pages/Holistic Health Show. And the Carl O'Helvey Holistic Cancer Foundation page at www.facebook.com/beatlungcancernaturalalternative. On LinkedIn, I invite you to join me under my name, Dr. Carl O'Helvey. On Twitter, I invite you to join me at www.twitter.com/HolistHealthShow, HolistHealthShow. I wish you a great week, and I look forward to having you here in 2 weeks. I'm Dr. Carl O'Helvey, your host.